Almost 100 years ago, President Calvin Coolidge said, "The chief business of America is business." But he didn't say what kind of business. Hi, I'm Rob West. If you're starting your own company, you have options for setting it up. Each has advantages and disadvantages that can be confusing. I'll give you the pros and cons of each today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's a question we get a lot. I'm starting a business, but I'm not sure how I should set it up legally. Should it be an LLC or a C Corp or some other type like a partnership or a sole proprietorship? If you choose incorrectly for your particular situation, it could cost you money at tax time. So let's take a look at some of these just in case you want to start your own business someday. And we'll look at the LLC, the C Corp, and the S-Corp, three of the most common. First, the LLC, or Limited Liability Company. As the name implies, this is a business structure that protects you from the personal responsibility for the company's debts or liabilities. LLCs are really hybrids that combine the characteristics of a corporation with those of a partnership or sole proprietorship. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, it gives you protection from debt collectors and lawsuits involving the company, just as a corporation would. But unlike a corporation, the LLC allows what's called flow-through for tax purposes. That means the LLC doesn't pay corporate income taxes. The company's profits and losses, or deductions, are passed on to the members of the LLC. That avoids the double taxation that a corporation pays when the company pays income taxes. And the shareholders then pay income taxes on dividends or capital gains taxes when they sell shares. So an LLC is a formal business arrangement that requires you to file articles of organization with the state, but it's easier to set up than a corporation. It also has certain disadvantages. For example, it may have to be dissolved if a member dies or files for bankruptcy. That's unlike a corporation that theoretically can last indefinitely. Another disadvantage? An LLC is not a good option if you decide to take the company public someday. The ownership or equity stake of an LLC cannot be publicly traded, but for many folks starting a business, forming an LLC is a great way to get started. Now, the LLC is often compared to a C corporation or C Corp, as in, which should I choose? But in most cases, you wouldn't be faced with that decision. That's because there's a very important distinction between the two. While both an LLC and a C Corp will protect you personally from the company's debt and liability, the C Corp does not allow a flow-through treatment of profits and losses for tax purposes. C corporations are subject to corporation income taxation. That means the taxing of profits from the business is at both corporate and personal levels, creating the double taxation situation I mentioned earlier. A C Corp also requires you to hold annual meetings and have a board of directors that's voted on by the shareholders. That's a whole other level of complexity, but it has a major advantage over more simple company structures. That separation between management and the owners or shareholders is what allows C Corps to live beyond the life of an individual owner, since they have many owners called shareholders. It also allows for the possibility of passive income for those shareholders. Now, I said that the question for how to establish a business in most cases won't be a choice between an LLC and a C Corp. That's because the vast majority of folks who are starting a business would want to avoid the double taxation inherent in a C Corp. So how do you get around that? Well, it's with an S Corp. This structure has the best features of both the LLC and the C Corp. The S Corp provides you with liability protection, but also allows you to pass profits and losses directly to shareholders, so you're only taxed once. Filing an S Corp can also reduce personal income taxes for the business owners by characterizing money they receive from the business as salary or dividends to owners. That will often lower their liability for self-employment or FICA taxes. An S Corp will also generate deductions for business expenses and wages paid to their employees, which again can be owners. Okay, so those are the advantages and disadvantages of the three most common company structures, just in case you were thinking about starting a business. We're back with your questions just after this. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Near the end of his life, the Apostle Paul was in prison, left cold, lonely, and in chains. He'd been arrested once again for preaching the gospel, but this time there were no friends around to encourage him. You may know what that's like, a season where it seems like darkness is your only friend. If that's something you can relate to today, I have some good news from God's Word. While earthly friends may desert us, Paul wrote this encouragement in 2 Timothy. About his own life, he said, "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." And in the same way, that same friend stands with you and strengthens you when you're weak. He walks beside all who belong to him. Get daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Making God your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and I'm looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Here's how we approach this hour. We want to take you into God's Word, pull out those big ideas we see in Scripture related to our role as stewards, money managers for the King of Kings, which, by the way, is a pretty high calling. We want to pull out those big ideas and themes from God's Word and apply those to the practical and daily decisions we're making with money, because we recognize that the way we handle God's money is one of the clearest indicators in what's happening in our lives spiritually. Show me your check register or your financial account online, and I'll tell you what you value, where your priorities are. And the same is true about me. The question is, what story does the way that we're using God's money tell about what's most important to us? And perhaps this is a time where we need to make some changes, surrender to the Lord, seek first the kingdom, and allow money, which, by the way, is one of God's good creations, it's not evil, allow money to be a tool, because it's to be used to provide, it's to enjoy, it's also to be used to give generously. And when we do that, when we give it away, not only are we participants or active, do we have active involvement in God's activity through our giving, but it's the ultimate demonstration of our trust and our understanding that God is the owner of everything and our provider. And here's why. You see, if you and I thought that we were required in the equation to earn money, then we would hold on to every penny. But when we know that God is our provider, we can trust him and give it away because we know he'll continue to provide. Now, clearly, we have a part in that. Bible is very clear that we shouldn't be lazy, that we were created to be workers, made in the image of God, the ultimate worker. We see God's handiwork on display in terms of creation throughout the scriptures. So we're to take his creation and improve it. We're to work throughout our whole lives, I believe. And that's going to look different in different seasons, but ultimately we're surrendered to God and his purposes. But money is that tool to accomplish that. So as we gather together here today, the question is, what are you wrestling with in your financial life as you live, give, owe, and grow? There's principles we can apply to each of those as we live within our means and as we avoid the use of debt and as we set long-term goals and have some cushion or margin and give generously. But we know that there's practical decisions you need to make today. So call right now. We've got some lines open, and we'd love to talk it through with you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin in Tennessee today. And Joshua, how can I help?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for your time and your ministry. I'm thinking about making a withdrawal from retirement to pay off my student debt. I don't know if it makes sense or not.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, but let me ask a couple of questions because I could certainly understand why you want to get that knocked out, Joshua. What is your age?
I'm 42.
Okay. And when you say retirement accounts, what do you have currently? Is it a 401k at work or something else?
Yeah, it's my previous 401k's plan. So I got almost like $300,000 in it.
Okay, great. And are you still contributing with your new employer?
Yes, with my new employer, with the match, I'm contributing about 18%.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you feel like, I mean, at your age, you're young, you've still got, 20 plus years before you might start thinking about what God has next for you that may involve a reduction in your income. You're probably pretty close to being on track there. Now, with the student debt, what is the interest rate you're paying on that?
It varies anywhere between 2.3, some are 4.6. I think there may be one or two at 6, but not very much if there is. I think it's mostly 4.6 and 2.3.
Okay. So let's say your average is maybe 3.5 percent.
Sure.
And then what do you, on your current track, do you have a sense of, how quickly you'll pay this back?
Well, I just started my new job and I haven't restarted payments on the student loans yet. So no, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, no worries. All right. Well, I mean, I typically look at this and say, if we could do a 10-year payback, that would be ideal. Now, 120 months at, let's call it 3.5% interest. I mean, that's going to require that in order for you to do that, you're going to have to put $1,825 a month toward this, which I realize is quite a bit. What kind of margin do you have that would allow you to pay this back out of current cash flow without pulling out of the 401k?
So I could do, without being too tight, I could probably do 15, but that would be about as tight as I'm comfortable going.
Okay. All right.
$1,500.
Yeah. No worries. So I get that. And so that would probably put us at about a 12 year, let's see, if we think in terms of a 12 year payback at 3.5. I think I got my numbers wrong. Actually, if you did $1,500 a month, that's a 60 months. I mean, that would only be $1,000 a month at 3.5% interest. If you could put $1,500 toward it, you'd pay this back obviously, pretty quick, at maybe 4 years. And, I think that's a better option just because, you know, we preserve the 100% of that 401k, so that can continue to grow. If you were to pull it out now, you'd have a penalty of 10%, plus it would be added to your taxable income. And even bigger than that, you just have the loss of the potential for compounding. I think, you know, if you can really focus on paying this off, set a goal to, let's say, pay it off in no more than 5 years, but it sounds like you could do even more than that, with $1,100 a month at 3.5% interest, that $60,000 is gone after 5 years. And, you know, that way you're only 47. Now, if apart from this, if you just have a real conviction from the Lord to be debt free, I'd say go for it. But just given the composite rate, when we put all of those together being, you know, under 4, and the fact that you're living within your means and you've got so much margin that you could throw at this, I just don't like you paying the tax, paying the penalty, and losing that tax-deferred compounding over the next 25 years when you can get this paid off in a relatively reasonable period of time just based on your current excesses.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Rob. Thank you very much. God bless.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Joshua. Listen, kudos to you for doing such a great job in managing all this, and call anytime. We appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go to Missouri. Hey, Guy, how can I help?
Good morning. There may not be a right or wrong answer to this, but a lady had called in a few days ago asking about burial expenses and that type of thing. And I've been giving this some thought. I've heard that it's really not prudent to actually prepay for funeral expenses because you're just giving them the money when I could be saving it and then just tell our kids, you know, when that time comes, we've saved the money instead of prepaying it. I don't know if it would actually make a difference long-term and how much they would be getting for it, that type of thing.
Yeah, very good. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. It's a great question that you're raising here, Guy, and it's one I think that's important because a lot of folks are thinking about this as well. What are the pros and cons of prepaid versus pre-planned funerals? So if you don't mind, you stay on the line. We'll take this quick break, and then I'll address that right on the other side. We've got two lines open for your questions today at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Real life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open. We're ready for your calls today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Just before the break, we were talking to Guy in Missouri. Guy was wondering about the wisdom in prepaying versus pre-planning the funeral. And I would just say, Guy, at a high level, and we'll talk about the specifics, you know, ultimately my view is the best way to relieve your family of the financial burden and the decision-making, and then also make sure your wishes are honored, is to prepare, not necessarily to prepay. If you have enough money to prepay your funeral expenses, you could certainly put that money in an investment account and watch it grow. So, you know, if you put that $8,000 into a good investment at age 40, by the time you're 70, that's $80,000 with a conservative return, which just helps us understand kind of what the potential is for that. Out-of-pocket expenses, can be pretty, you know, high. The average funeral today is somewhere between, you know, $8,000 and $10,000, and then obviously it goes up from there. But, you know, the benefit of the prepaid is there's no second guessing for your family, so they quickly, you know exactly what your wishes are because you've already locked it in. The prices are locked in. There is an inflation factor here with funerals. So, you know, they're outpacing more than two times, maybe even three times in some cases, the rate of just normal CPI inflation. So I think, you know, we've seen about between a 6% and 7% increase each year in the cost of funerals. And so you're locking that in. And then you've obviously got a spot reserved because, you know, cemeteries or mausoleums, you know, they can fill up. And perhaps you want to be buried near a family member or something like that. The downside is just what I mentioned, though, that the cost, you know, the funds are tied up. And so you don't get the benefit of the growth of that money that's sitting there for this purpose. The funeral home can go out of business. That does happen. And you can't change your mind in many cases. You may decide, you know, you want to get buried somewhere else, out of state or something like that. So I think, you know, the idea that we could go ahead and make those decisions to lessen that burden on our family, set the money aside, do some pre-planning, but not be locked in, for most people is the better option. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, that's really kind of my thoughts on it too. I'd heard others that say, well, I don't want to fool with this. I just want to pay it up front and do all that. But I agree with you. I think it'd be better just to plan it all, have that in our documents, you know, for our family, and so they know everything is already pre-planned and ready, but then just to save that money and let it grow until, you know, until it's needed.
Yeah, very good. I would concur with you there, Guy. I mean, obviously, if you've got the funds to do it, and, you know, you've got surplus, and it's just kind of from the hassle factor, you just want to know that it's done, and there's as few decisions as possible. That's where a lot of folks will say, I just feel better knowing that it's locked up. But apart from that, I think there's some wisdom in exactly the way you're thinking. So hopefully that helps you, sir. If not, anything else confirms what you're already thinking. But we appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got, two lines open for your calls right now. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Albert. How can we help?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a comment about my Medicare I had one of those Medicare Advantage programs.
Yes.
A couple of years ago. So anyway, I sold all of my stock that I had because, well, I'm 81 now, and I didn't want to be in the stock market anymore. So I just went ahead and sold everything.
Yeah.
And so I had to pay like $60,000 federal tax, and I had to pay $10,000 state tax. Well, I didn't really mind that too bad because I did what I wanted to do. But what I didn't realize is it caused my Medicare premium to go up to like $560 a month.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if people knew that or not, but your Medicare premium is based on your income.
That's right. Yep, that's exactly right. And I think that's good to point out because a lot of folks don't realize that that's the case. You know, if you're on Medicare or Medicare Advantage, you know, and your income rises above a certain threshold, the Social Security Administration adds an extra charge to the standard Plan B or Plan D premiums based on something called IRMA, which is the income-related monthly adjustment amount. And, you know, I think that, you know, based on what's called your modified adjusted gross income from the prior 2 years, you know, certainly can drive that up. And, you know, folks just need to be aware that that is a reality. And that can include, you know, things like required minimum distributions, income in the year you stop working. You know, if you have, you know, certain asset sales like you're talking about, inheritances, Roth conversions, all of these things, you know, can affect that. And so it's a part of the planning. We don't want to get caught by surprise with the tax bill. We also don't want to get caught by surprise with the increase to the Medicare premium. So it's a great reminder, Albert. I appreciate you weighing into the program on that, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment. Up next, we're going to talk to Christopher in Tennessee. He wants to know how to get a reasonable rate of return on seven digits worth of money coming their way from the sale of a home, and we'll tackle that just around the corner as well. The number to call, though, with lines open is 800-525-7000. Let me mention before we head to this break that here on the last day of the month, Leap Day, on February the 29th, this is the last day for you to support the ministry here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio and have it count toward our goal this month. We're still about $6,000 away from what we are planning on for the month of February. And so if you'd like to make a gift, maybe you've found this program valuable, it's been helpful to you, you've learned something along the way, or it's encouraged you, and you'd like to give to support the ministry, a gift of any amount would go a long way. One time or as a monthly financial partner, just go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. We'll be right back.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
The Friends of Israel Today keeps a finger on the pulse of what's happening in Israel.
Yesterday, there were 66 new wounded soldiers, which in Israel numbers, it's a lot of
wounded soldiers. That's a lot, yes.
Relatively to the United States, it's like you had in one day 500 soldiers would be getting wounded.
Yes.
Or 1,000, okay? The hospitals in Israel are full with the wounded soldiers. They get the rehabilitation start now.
Hear the Friends of Israel Today every Saturday afternoon at 2 Central on AFR.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
what's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got room for maybe two more calls, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. To North Carolina we go. Hi, Jimmy. How can we help?
Hey, good morning, Rob. It's good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Here is what's happened with me financially. I've come into a fraud situation, whereas somebody around 11 o'clock at night hacked into my computer and then got into my bank and transferred $5,000 twice to an outside account I assume belonged to them. And my bank tells me that, and so it's a total of $10,000. My bank tells me they can't do anything about it, even though they have like the last four digits of the account where the money got transferred to. And so I'm sitting here with this big loss. $10,000 is a lot of money to me. And I'm just trying to figure out, is there possibly a way that I could approach somehow to get my money back? And number two, what things can I do to my computer that would prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I can understand your concern here. So, you know, normally what we would see in a situation like this is once you notify your bank or credit union, it generally has 10 business days to investigate the issue, 20 business days if the account has been open less than 30 days. And that's according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a part of the U.S. government. So they have to correct the error within one business day after they determine that an error has occurred. And this is with regard to unauthorized transactions, which I would clearly put this in the camp of, and they have to report their findings to you. So what are they saying with regard to that? Because, you know, normally what I would expect is for, you know, them to launch an investigation based on what you're saying here, that you didn't initiate this, and especially once they can determine that you're not connected to this account, you know, that they would at least take steps to try to investigate it. But they're not willing to do that. Is that right?
Here is what's transpired. They did launch an investigation for 10 days, and then they created a letter to me telling me that the loss is just my loss. And the reason that they gave, they evidently could not trace the transfers and get with the other bank to get money back, even though they said they did try that. But they say the real problem is that theft really happened on my computer and not at their bank in another by another method. And therefore, somebody, I think it's really, really experienced and does this for a living, hacked into my computer. On the computer itself, I have two programs that handles viruses, malware, and that kind of thing. And I just can't understand how this could have happened.
Yeah.
But the bank no longer says this is an issue that they will look at.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like this hacker has found a loophole of sorts because they didn't hack the bank's system on their own computer and they didn't, you know, access it another way. They essentially, what they're claiming is, gained access to your personal computer and then used that to facilitate the transfer. And so it sounds like you'd have to, you know, file, you know, go to the police essentially and you know, do a report there. The challenge is that's going to be really challenging to ever see anything come of it. You know, I would probably file at a minimum a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, at ftc.gov/complaint, and they'll provide information about what steps to take, given that, you know, this was fraudulent. Somebody compromised your account information and you're looking for protection from the bank to that regard. And regardless of whether or not they did it by way of fraudulently accessing or taking over your computer or not, as to whether that's a disqualifier for them to make you whole, I don't know the answer to that, but I would, at a minimum, you know, file that complaint with the FTC, again, ftc.gov. Now, it sounds like you're doing a lot of things right here with regard to preventing this in the future. I mean, you certainly want to install ad blockers. You want to update and patch your operating software regularly. You don't want to access this account on public Wi-Fi. Another big one that I think could be helpful if you haven't done it, other than using a password manager with unique passwords for every account, is two-factor authentication. Now, again, if they compromised your account and essentially took over your computer, you know, a lot of times we have our instant messaging or texting coming into our computer. So even if you had two-factor authentication, they might have been able to see the instant message come through from your bank with that second factor that allowed them to gain access. So that's somewhat scary for folks to think about. They could be, you know, having the full view that you would have as the user. And because we save a lot of these things, you know, when we're using our own personal computer, a trusted device, I could see how that would create additional problems. But let me ask, do you have two-factor authentication enabled on this account?
Here's what happened in regard to that. I didn't have two-factor authentication, and the thing I haven't told you is that ever who crashed into my computer also destroyed it. The motherboard and all the hard drives all crashed, and I had to actually go buy another computer. So now when I go to my financial institution, there is a two-factor which sends something to my cell phone, a code that I have to re-enter. If that had been in place from the bank at that time, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jimmy, I'm so sorry to hear that you're going through this. I know this is devastating. It's significant financially. That's a lot of money. And it's just, you know, I think concerning at a lot of levels because of what a violation this is of you, not to mention illegal. So I'm really sorry. I hope, you know, in the future, your bank would be willing to work with you a little bit more closely given the way this went down. I'm sorry to hear that it sounds like their initial pass was a refusal to be involved because of how this took place. I would file that complaint with the FTC if I were you. I would make sure you're learning from this and using two-factor authentication on all of your accounts moving forward. This serves as a good reminder to our listening audience. But apart from that, sir, I don't have anything else to offer other than just to thank you for sharing your story today because I'm confident it'll help someone else.
Well, yeah, and folks might want to know if they can afford it, add a VPN to their computer, which I have done the new one.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your information.
Absolutely. And thanks very much, Jimmy. By the way, what he mentioned right there at the tail end is a VPN is a virtual private network, which establishes kind of a digital handshake, if you will, a digital connection between your computer and a remote server that's encrypted. So that tunnel, if you will, that point-to-point tunnel encrypts your personal data. And it does one other thing. It masks your IP address, which I know we're getting technical here, but is often the entry point for somebody into your device. So you could just look at VPN for not only your phone, but also your desktop computer, whether that's a Mac or a PC. So, Jimmy, thanks for your call today. Folks, we've got one more segment to go. I've got some great questions holding. Christopher's up next, and then we'll talk to Fred in Indiana. Perhaps room for one more at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stick around.
My wife and I stumbled on the AFR channel on Roku last night, and I was amazed. Not only did it give us access to American Family Radio talk programming or 24-hour AFR music, but the access was instantaneous. And AFR on Roku gives us access to AFR podcasts with archives of our favorite talk shows and special programs. We listened to the Don Wildman Memorial Show, which my wife had missed on the radio. The AFR channel on Roku. Install it free today.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me let you know that you may not be aware we just launched our brand new FaithFi study. It's called Rich Toward God. It's a four-week dive into the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. It's amazing. It really tackles some key questions that I think we all need to deal with related to money and our hearts. The pride we can have in prosperity, the uncertainty of tomorrow. What is true abundance? The fact that our abundance is found in Christ alone, not in the things of this world. And then finally, and this is right at the end of that parable of the rich fool, we see that God says we're to live rich toward God. What does that mean? How does that play itself out in our everyday decision-making? Well, this four-week study that's beautifully designed will tackle all of these subjects and more. And perhaps you're in a small group at church and you're looking for a great practical study that's new and fresh. This could be exactly what you're looking for. Just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click the button right at the top of the page that says shop, where you can go shopping and you'll see our brand new study, Rich Toward God. Check it out today, faithfi.com. All right, we're going to head back to the phones to Christopher in Tennessee. I understand you're back with us. Christopher, go right ahead. How can I help?
Yes. We just sold our home, moving, downsizing to a second home we had. And, of course, coming out of this, I've got quite a bit of cash. We're both in our 70s. We have income outside of this money, so we don't need this for income. But I'm concerned about, you know, keeping up with the rate of inflation. But I don't, at our age, necessarily want to get into anything in the stock market. I'm just looking, what kind of options would I have other than a CD that could possibly put this money into?
Yeah, it's a great question, Christopher. And I think the key is just your risk tolerance. And I'm hearing you that you want to stay on the most conservative end of the risk spectrum. So how do we hedge against inflation? Well, there's several asset classes that we could consider. Certainly commodities are one. Gold is often, you know, considered a hedge against inflation. It's looked at as an alternative currency, but it's also an asset that, you know, has some growth potential and is uncorrelated to the stock and bond market. Other commodities would also fit into that category as well. Real estate investment trusts would be another option where you're buying into a basket of real estate holdings, and there's all types of REITs, but that would be one option as well. You could look at TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. So these are issued by the U.S. Treasuries. They're indexed to inflation to protect you from inflation and the negative effects of it. They're obviously very safe because they're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. You also could just go into a basket of bonds. Now, you could buy individual, T-bills, bills, bonds, and notes from the U.S. government. You could buy high-quality corporates, or you could buy kind of a high-quality bond mutual fund. And I would be on the shorter end to medium-term duration fund, but that would be a basket of corporate and government bonds. It diversifies the risk, but in this environment with yields up, you know, would pay you a nice rate of return. And then as rates fall, that would help as well because the underlying price of the bonds would increase as rates come down. So that could be another option as well. New annuities are another option here. You know, I'm not a huge fan, but in a situation like this where you say, listen, I want some tax advantage. I want eventually a steady stream of income down the road. But more importantly, I want a guaranteed return that's attractive, either through a guaranteed fixed annuity or even a variable annuity where you get some of the upside, but you don't have any downside. You know, that can be an option as well. And then muni bonds would be the final one that I'd throw out, which is, you know, issued by states, cities, counties, to fund public projects. The interest is often tax-free, and it can be another way to go. So, you know, I think if you're looking to build this yourself, you could certainly, you know, pick from these other types of investments and build a nice, stable portfolio focused on income and offsetting inflation. The other option is to hire an advisor where you'd talk through your goals and objectives in the way you just did with me, and you all would come to a decision on how to build a portfolio. But ultimately, you wouldn't have to make those decisions. Let me also just mention in conclusion, you know, if you want a faith-aligned approach and you really want to look at not only a compelling return, but also the impact potential, you could look at one of the faith-based investing fund families like Praxis. Their impact bond fund is phenomenal. Crossmark Global, another faith-based investing fund family that has a bond fund that, again, is screened for, you know, Christian values. So anyway, that's a number of options there. Hopefully I didn't overwhelm you, but is that helpful?
I hadn't thought about the bond fund mutual, but that might be an option.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, you could do that with just a real low cost, high quality bond fund, you know, with one of the big, mutual fund companies. But if you want a faith aligned option, I think that's where looking to some of these other choices might give you some other considerations. So listen, all the best to you, Christopher, in this season of life. And if we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Fred. How can I help?
Hi, Ralph. I appreciate your work you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question in regards to, I have an emergency fund set aside. I'm just wondering if, you know, in regular savings, I'm getting about 1% from the bank. I was just wondering if there was something that I could put it into that maybe make me a little bit more money, but also still be accessible, in terms of, if I did have an emergency, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I like the way you're thinking that you've got that emergency fund. That's really important. I also love the fact that you're thinking about, you know, how can I get the very best rate right now? Because there are some compelling rates. Now, those are going to head lower as interest rates decline. The consensus was that we'd have at least three declines this year. The consumer's been holding up a little bit better than I think the Fed anticipated. So that continues to be pushed back. But nevertheless, we're going to see some rate declines this year, and even if it's not as many as we expect. In the meantime, though, let's take advantage of these high yield interest rates. You're going to have to go, though, to an online bank if you really want to get a compelling option. So, for instance, if you were to go to bankrate.com right now, which is a website that every day is updated with the banks and credit unions that have the very highest interest rates on savings accounts with no fees and very low minimums, often a zero minimum, with FDIC insurance backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, you will see today that you can get 4.5% to 5% on your high yield savings. But you would have to be willing to open an online savings account and link it, which is what I recommend, link it to your existing checking account with your current bank. That way you can move the money back and forth electronically, but that would take you up, you know, 4 or 5 times what you're getting today with full FDIC insurance. Are you aware of that option?
Was not. No, not at all.
Okay. Yeah. So, for instance, I'm looking at right now Marcus, which is the retail bank of Goldman Sachs. They're offering 4.5%. American Express, for their high yield savings, is offering 4.35%. SoFi, which is a fintech company and bank, you know, they're 5-star rated. They're FDIC insured. They're offering 4.6 right now with zero minimum on that balance. So, you know, that would be, I think, a great option for you. Again, bankrate.com, just click high yield savings. And again, you don't have to disrupt your current checking account. You can leave that right where it is. Just open this savings account in addition to it, link them up electronically, and then you can move money back and forth as you need to.
Okay, that sounds great. That's kind of what I was looking for, just something that I could, you know, if I needed it, I could get at it very quickly, and then I'd be, you know, have peace of mind with that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate your call, Fred. May the Lord bless you. And if we can serve you in any way in the future, don't hesitate to reach out. Our final call will be in Pennsylvania today. Stephen, go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Wes, for taking my call. Been listening since Larry Burkett back in the 80s. And I miss Steve, too.
Oh, well, thank you. I talked to Steve just a few weeks ago. So next time I speak to him, I will mention that you asked about him.
Okay. Our insurance, I'm a deacon at my church, and our insurance will be dropped in 2 weeks. What insurance companies of integrity do you recommend?
You know, I wish I had an answer for you on that. You know, in terms of a faith-based alternative for insurance, and are you talking about what type of insurance? For the church itself or something else?
It's basically for the church itself, everything in general, yes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, perhaps you could check with Guidestone. That might be a great option. They offer, you know, church liability insurance policies, and they, you know, work with hundreds of thousands of churches across the country. So if they don't have a solution exactly what you're looking for, they could certainly recommend someone for you. That's Guidestone, and you'll find them on the web at guidestone.org. They're a financial services and insurance solutions specifically guided by Christian values, but not only for individuals, but for churches as well. So guidestone.org is the place that I would start, Stephen.
That sounds like good guidance. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. Hey, and thanks for mentioning Larry Burkett. I appreciate the fact that you've been listening all the way back to Larry's days. We certainly miss him dearly. And I'll tell you, there is not a kinder voice, more biblical, with greater integrity than the late Larry Burkett. We all walk in his giant shoes to this day, and we're grateful for the impact he continues to have in people's lives. So thanks for mentioning that. God bless you, sir. Well, that's going to do it for us. Let me say thanks to my amazing team. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, Taylor Standrich, these fine gentlemen serving me incredibly well today, plus the rest of the team behind the scenes here at FaithFi. May God bless you. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back, Lord willing, to do this all again tomorrow, and hope to see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.